So in March 2006, the South African government hits this massive milestone, right? Like 30% of their senior management were women.
Yeah, which is a huge victory on paper.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But then they almost immediately realized that their equality strategy was actually fundamentally broken.
Completely broken, yeah.
And well, welcome to today's deep dive. We're really glad you're here with us.
Yeah, glad to have you listening.
And our mission today is basically unpacking South Africa's strategic framework for gender equality within the public service, specifically looking at the 2006 to 2015 period.
Right.
We are going to explore how a government tackles systemic inequality and moves from just basic hiring quotas to, you know, total structural transformation. So, okay, let's unpack this.
Well, the main thing to understand is that hitting a quota doesn't actually equal holding power. I mean, the cabinet aggressively revised that senior management target to like 50% by March 2009.
Wow, 50% is really ambitious.
It is, yeah. But looking at the entire public service workforce, women made up over 53% overall, yet they were heavily clustered at the bottom.
Like in administrative roles.
Exactly. Lower level administrative and clerical roles. So they were in the building, but nowhere near the controls, you know?
Yeah. The source actually cites the Wall Street Journal coining the term glass ceiling way back in 1986 to describe this exact phenomenon.
Right. The classic glass ceiling.
But instead of just calling it unfair, yeah, I think it helps to think of it structurally. Like, mm-hmm, it's basically running a race where the track itself is tilted.
Oh, I like that analogy.
Yeah, or like trying to plug a modern USB-C cable into a really old USB-A port. The government system was just fundamentally built for a different shape.
Yeah, it just doesn't fit.
Right. The framework points out that the invisible barriers are things like biased performance evaluations and a predominantly male culture of management. So you can't just force it in. You have to tear out the old hardware to make it connect.
And what's fascinating here is that the International Labor Organization argues this isn't just some social justice checkbox.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it is a hard requirement for accelerating national development. Because achieving true equity means looking at the actual mechanics of why women get stuck in the first place.
Right, the tilted track.
Exactly. If a country ignores the abilities and the creativity of half its population, its overall resource allocation just suffers. Empowering women with an equal role in decision-making is literally the only way a developing nation actually develops.
So South Africa realized that numerical targets alone don't change the hardware. To level that playing field, they needed a totally different operational playbook.
Right, and they adopted something called gender mainstreaming.
Gender mainstreaming.
Yeah, it was a global strategy formalized at the 1995 UN Beijing Conference. Before that, governments usually just ran these isolated women's projects on the side.
It's like an afterthought.
Totally. Mainstreaming was a radical shift. It meant integrating a gender perspective into the absolute core of the institution, like every budget, every policy, every daily routine.
Okay, but here's where it gets really interesting, though, because I hear gender mainstreaming, mm-hmm, and my immediate thought is just endless bureaucratic paperwork.
Oh, yeah, I can totally see that.
Right. Like, tell me this isn't just government departments filling out new gender impact forms in triplicate. Does this actually move the needle on the ground?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, it fundamentally changes outcomes. Let's look at how a budget is mainstreamed. Instead of a department just asking, hey, what is the budget for road repair?
Okay.
A mainstreamed approach asks, are we repairing highways that lead to male-dominated industrial centers while completely ignoring the rural dirt roads that women rely on to get their goods to local markets?
Ah, wow. So they are changing the default questions being asked before the money is even spent.
Exactly. Because the framework highlights these massive, deeply rooted external challenges in South Africa. Things like rural poverty, stark disparities in HIV and AIDS impacts, and gender-based violence.
Right. Huge issues.
Yeah. And mainstreaming ensures women are sitting at the table, actively deciding where the resources go to solve these crises. You aren't just treating symptoms. You're changing who writes the prescription.
So what does this all mean for you listening? Basically, South Africa proved that you can succeed at the numbers game and still fail at equality.
Because hitting 50% representation means absolutely nothing if that 50% holds 0% of the institutional power.
Exactly. Whether you're navigating a corporate hierarchy or studying public policy, true equity means tearing out the old hardware.
Yeah, you have to re-engineer the underlying rules and the culture that dictate how the institution operates in the first place.
Which leaves us with a thought to chew on long after this deep dive ends.
Mm.
If an institution's foundational rules, its performance metrics, its very culture were built exclusively by one demographic, Is it ever really possible to achieve true equality without completely tearing up the original rulebook?